Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Doing well. How do you feel about having a housewarming party tonight?
I think I want to cancel.
Wait, Asia, what are you talking about? We have to do this.
Okay.
This makes me question everything.
You're right. I'm sorry. Okay. So forget about that. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll just have it.
All right. I think so.
Who do we invite to our housewarming party?
We have the lovely Jess Sterling.
Hi, I'm here. I brought the guide to pleasuring a woman, just like everyone should bring to their housewarming party.
That's wonderful. Perfect. So, just the perfect balance to a housewarming party.
Yes. Who doesn't offer that as like a housewarming gift? I thought everybody brought like a Kama Sutra book.
Yeah, I wanted to see if the author like noticed that she got this plug.
Right. This is a big plug. I mean, Lifetime isn't just like, okay, it's not ABC, but it's bigger than like, I don't know, you know, the smaller ones out there. So that's a lot of views. I was tempted to look it up just to see what it's about.
Do they really need to have it blurred out, though? I think it's a picture of a papaya.
The entire cover. But you can still tell it was a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
Right. Everything else is blurred.
Is that what we're doing now? Are we blurring out fruit?
When it looks sexual, apparently. Right. Like, sexy fruit. We can't possibly show this on television.
Right. You blur fruit, but then they say the entire full title. So all anyone has to do is pick up their phone, type it in, and then boom.
That's the funny thing is I was like, why did they blur it all out? When I was thinking it must have been a Kama Sutra book, because like before he said the title, because the whole thing was blurred. And I was like, wait a minute, if it's just a piece of fruit, why are we blurring this?
Right. Oh, fun stuff. In case you didn't watch the episode, that is the book that why am I blanking on their name?
Bao's, I think Donna, it's Bao's Bao. Like good friend. Yeah.
Yes, Bao's good friend. Yeah, I was trying to place him. So Bao's good friend got Johnny and Bao this book. So as you will see when we catch up, it's going to be like maybe read the room a little bit. You bring that type of book. That would just be like Gil and Mirla getting a book saying like the deeper levels of intimacy. We're still waiting on the
how to kiss.
Right.
Yeah. It is just a picture of a papaya on the cover. It is a male author though, so I apologize. I assumed it was a woman that wrote it.
Okay, well, there we go. Expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. So we are here to talk about episode 8. But before we jump into this episode, because we have you here, Jess, tell us a little bit about your Married at First Sight history. What got you into the show? How long have you been watching?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, it was Asia, you got me into the show because you mentioned it after, I want to say we were chatting about like 90 Day or we were talking about something and you were like, yeah, this show is wild. And so I had started, gosh, it must've been like season 5, whatever is on Hulu, I think. I had watched it and I was like kind of into it, but that season like wasn't really like striking my fancy. I watched a little bit of last season, but I think I was watching something else at the time. So I kind of fell off. And so when I saw you guys were going to be podcasting about it this season, I was like, yes, okay, I'm committing myself to watching this show now because I know if I watch it consistently, I'll really love it. And of course, I like fell in love with it. It's like 90 Day Fiance, but it takes itself more seriously, yes. Which is like almost funnier in a way. So I absolutely love it. It's so messy and it's beautiful.
Right. That's awesome. That is awesome. I'm like slowly planting those seeds across like all the RHAP podcasters.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, ever heard about this show? And then we end up with a season long of like roster of guests.
Yes. Good strategy.
Right. Now we just got to get Haley Strong. We got to get her to watch.
We do. She would love it. It's such good trash television. It's like, and it does have like, reminds me of The Bachelor in that it like, because it does take itself so seriously at times, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're here for love. It's like, all right, let's calm down now.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I was talking to someone recently about the show and they were like, okay, no way this is legally binding. I was like, oh no, it is. Like, they don't stay together, that's a divorce. So yeah, I mean, I love it. So okay, I'm so glad that you got into it. There are so many seasons. I know Amy and I have talked about, like, you know, some of the really good ones, like season 10, and then you do have a lot of the older ones that were really good because you didn't have all of this structure where like the couples can support each other. You had these couples out there just like doing it on their own. So there was so much drama just in the past. So if you ever can find all 13 or like all past 12 seasons, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to be binging some in the off season. You know, you always get through like, okay, I need a quick binge. I need something I can throw on while I work. This show fits that bill perfectly.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right. So awesome. So I'm very excited to talk about this with you and Amy. So this week for episode 8, we have they've been married 2 weeks. We have 6 weeks until decision day. We start off with day 11, and that's kind of where we are. This episode, they are all doing housewarming parties, and then they're meeting each other's friends and, you know, talking in a more social setting. And then we also got a group outing with the guys and with the girls. So we will dive into all of that. So the first couple that we are going to dive into. Well, before we dive into all 5, who's your favorite couple, Jess?
I mean, everybody loves Bao and Johnny, right? Like, that has to be the chalk pick for favorite. But because that's such an easy pick, low-key, Mirla's like climbing the ladder of people I like. And I started off hating her in the beginning of the season. So if she just loved dogs, we'd be like a match made in heaven. But I think that like Gil and Mirla, I like because I just find them very interesting to watch.
Yes, I totally agree. And I have been on the Mirla train. I know the perception that everyone has about her and her lifestyle, but yeah, her not liking dogs, I would say, is her one flaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something about how she owns who she is so much. Yeah. And I'm just envious of her ability to just like shut anyone down if they try to question her or, you know, just like ask a question and she doesn't want to go there. It's like she just knows how to like, she doesn't waver at all.
Yes. Yeah, the moment where it's like, would you change your lifestyle? Like, not even a hesitation. No, not even. Like, I envy that so much. I just, yeah. So she definitely is climbing my ranks for one of my favorites for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so unapologetically herself. It's just like, how could you not, you know, eventually get on board?
And she takes jokes at her expense. Like, she actually likes that. Yes. She still pokes fun at her. And like, I think she's just amused by it. So I really like that as well.
Yes. Totally agree. So we will put a pin in Mirla and Gil. And the first couple that we will talk about today is a couple we didn't get much content from this episode. And I blame the couple. The first couple is Rachel and Jose. So, you know, these two have been something else. In terms of wanting to have the perception that everything is just going amazingly. So the first little bit that we got from them was like Rachel, she woke up early to go to the gym. She kind of talked a little bit about that. And then we saw them in a flower shop getting ready for their housewarming. And so we really got to see a lot of their personalities because they're trying to buy plants for their home in preparation for the housewarming party. Jose, of course, had this idea of how he wanted it, what he wanted to pick. Perfect idea. And Rachel tried to chime in here and there, like, oh, maybe we get this, maybe we get that. You know, Jose's like, well, no, let's get this lettuce because that totally makes sense. And they're trying to pick things to grow in their apartment. What was going on here?
She can't keep a succulent alive. I don't know that this like indoor like garden situation that they're trying to do or outdoor. I don't know what they're planning, but I don't think they're going to have a harvest here.
Right. No, I don't understand why lettuce is the pick. Like I've heard of like growing herbs in like an apartment, you know, like your thyme and your basil and stuff, but never lettuce. And beyond that, poor Rachel. I mean, here's the thing. Jose, like on paper, seems like he'd make a great husband, right? Like he has a house, his finances are in order, very nice guy, you know, like all of those things, checks all those boxes. But like, he just is so particular about everything. Yes. I almost thought that when they were leaving the nursery, he was like looking over plants and I thought he was going to like secretly swap out one she picked for like something else because they were lingering on him for so long.
I totally wouldn't have put that past him. He's so particular. And I just don't know. It's just like, okay. Because then you start to think, okay, is that just the characteristic of like a 35-year-old single male in Houston? But it's like, no, every other husband, except for Zach, they're 35 as well. And so it's just like, okay, specific to Jose, no matter what it is, he has fully thought it through. And his plan is the plan that should be executed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the issue that they're like running into is that not only does he feel the need to control everything, because Rachel seems like laid back enough where she doesn't particularly care all the time if he like takes the lead. And if he has planned it all out, okay, great. Like he knows all the information. Like the trouble comes in when he like, it's almost like he puts down her way of living, which like, yes, saving is great. Like I'm also like big on money management, but like you have to live your life and travel too. And it feels like he's like, you know, putting her down when he calls it wasteful to spend money on travel.
Yeah, he doesn't see the value in her side. It seemed like talk from Pastor Cal resonated at all.
Mm-hmm. At all. And it's like, you do see some couples like Gil and Mirla.
Like you're going to call them Gearla?
You
just gave them a shipping name?
Gearla.
Right? We should have ship names for all five couples. You know, so for them, we would say Rosé.
That's a good one, Rosé.
Oh, Rosé. Okay, I think really we're on to something here, accidentally.
Their couple name is excellent.
Right? So, you know, you have some of these couples really listening to what Pastor Cal said, but for them, it was just like, we already know what we're doing. We're doing so well. And, oh, you have these opinions, but I don't know if we're going to take them. Them being in this nursery, though, I was thinking like, are y'all plant moms? Do y'all have any plants y'all could recommend to people?
Oh, I'm much more on the Rachel side of things. I kill everything. So
exactly. I can do like the spider plant, some of those kind of things that are just like, I recommend just getting plants from friends and neighbors when their plant sprouts and they're like, hey, do you want this like plant cutting? You know, it's like, this is easy. Like, it's hard to kill.
Less pressure.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I was giving
you're
it
not wasting
for free.
The money just
exactly.
to kill it.
Yeah.
Right.
I made that mistake when I first got my first apartment and was buying like mm-hmm. hydrangeas and like things that just don't even last. They're just like mm-hmm. there for a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I would say my roommate has a green thumb. I've been more so like, like Rachel, but I mm-hmm. did recently buy I would say maybe like 6 months ago, a Chinese money plant. And guys, when I tell you that has bloomed, it's like, it makes it look like I really know what I'm doing. And I just water it once a week. I'm so impressed. I legit will post a before and after picture of like when I first got it to present day. And I'm just so impressed. So I think if I can make that happen, anyone can. So if you can go to your local nursery and find a Chinese money plant, I would highly recommend it. just a heads up. So Rachel, if you're listening, y'all should get a Chinese money plant instead of that lettuce that y'all ended up getting.
The lettuce.
Because when she said like, oh, we're getting herbs for cooking, I was like, okay, perfect. Because yeah, totally. Thyme, parsley. Yeah.
Yeah, even like cilantro, I could see. Because they were talking about like salsa and stuff, right? Yeah. So like it sounded like they were even like some type of like Spanish type of food, which mm-hmm. usually cilantro is in a lot of that. So
yeah, exactly. So we got that little visit and then it was time for their housewarming party. So his parents brought gifts over. Jose admits like he's falling fast for Rachel. They give this, you know, they're presenting this picture to their family and friends like, we've never fought. Things are going well. We didn't expect it to be so easy. And then I think it was Jose's mom or his stepmom who was mm-hmm. like, you know, have y'all fought about anything or do y'all disagree? Jose said, you know, OK, well, you know, we do have our differences when it comes to finances. He's like, you know, 50% of marriages end a divorce because of finances. He's like, I just think like in a perfect world, we just come together and we have one account. And then Rachel kind of speaks up to, I didn't really have that view. I think it's fine that we have our separate accounts. And then here comes Jose bringing out the whiteboard from his house, which is now in the apartment. He's pointing it out like, yeah, look, I got my bills. I got every amount here. I have my credit score. And he's just flaunting his organization. And Rachel's friend at this point was like, oh, wow, man, you're really organized. And he's just going on and on and on. And then he mentions Amy, like what you mentioned earlier, Amy, is like he thinks that traveling is a waste of money. And he's really starting to make her feel nervous about the future. Like she admits, like, I am kind of feeling nervous because she doesn't really get a word in edgewise during this entire exchange.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm a little worried about them.
Yeah. I think that like it's troubling how often he brings up finances in the show, because it's like, if he's bringing it up this much on camera, how much is he talking about it off camera? Like, mm-hmm. I understand, like, I'm a saver too, so I can totally get that. I tend to be like a type A personality, very similar to Jose. I like things the way I like them. But once you get into a marriage, like, it's not only about, like, it's, I really feel like he views his way as the right way and her way as the wrong way, and not as just two different ways. And because of that, he tends to be like a steamroller. And mm-hmm. Rachel has flat out said that she changes, like in past relationships, she's conformed to whatever her, you know, partner at the time is like.
Yep.
And so I can feel her like feeling the pressure of him like steamrolling over her and not really knowing how to handle it. And I really loved his stepmom, like when they had those little breakout sessions, and his stepmom was like, don't let him control everything, like speak mm-hmm. up. And I was like, yes, tell her. Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like she needs to hear this from somebody.
Yeah. I think, you know, the stepmom came into the family too. So she probably just has some things where she's like, true. This is not quite she shouldn't have to accept all these behaviors. Mm-hmm. If his parents won't, tell him one way or the other, but.
Exactly. It's just I feel sorry. I feel bad for her because we know, kind of what you're saying, Jess, is we know what she's been like in past relationships because she has explained it. And it's just her slowly falling back into this because Jose is so dominant, and especially when he really believes something. That's why I was so surprised about them consummating their marriage, which we find out about last episode. I have a checklist. She needs to meet everything on that checklist. So.
Yeah. I think the concerning thing is he's so dominant, and poor Rachel, you can tell it bothers her, but it's, to me, it's more worrisome when they boast about how much they haven't fought, because I feel like there's always a sense of something beneath the surface when you say something like that. There's something that you need to talk about that you haven't talked about yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he quite understands how important travel is to her. And her way of still being able to travel is by not joining their bank accounts, because mm-hmm. of how controlling he is. The minute that they join bank accounts, she probably is worried he's going to give her an allowance instead of her being able to control her portion of the money.
Exactly.
Right. And it's weird to me when she'll say something very reasonable, okay, we're going to Spain. This will happen at some point. And he's never oh yeah, I want to do that too. Or we'll figure out a way, just something, give her one trip to Europe. And that you'd want to do that. It's not a weird thing to want to do.
Right. He always makes it seem like she's saying we need to visit all 7 continents within the next 3 months. Makes it seem like it's the most absurd thing when it's very reasonable. She's not asking for much. I mean, she told us she used to travel so often, mm-hmm. and she's not trying to bring that into her marriage. She's just still trying to keep that element of travel at some point. I mean, we are still in a pandemic, so she's not going to be able to travel as much, but it's just okay, she does want to travel some.
And what I don't understand is he has a house, so he's not saving for a home. I just don't get why can't he spend some of the money? I understand if you're okay, are you saving for a house? You're saving for a new car? You're saving for XYZ? Why is it such a big deal to travel? He's mm-hmm. oh, you need a new car. Your car is a piece of crap. Or that might have been in the preview. I can't remember exactly when he said that. But it's just why can't you travel? You have a house. You have plenty of money to obviously you budget a wild man. You should have some extra money laying around.
Right. Exactly. I wish we had the moment of them showing each other, how Gil and Mirla did show their bank accounts and got those raw reactions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I loved that moment, by the way. I think that was so fun to get on camera.
Yes, exactly. So we did get, all the guys and the girls together. Jose, of course, is bragging to the guys that they can't keep their hands off of each other. but really, that was it. Rachel didn't really share much with the girls about, what she's thinking or how she's feeling. It was just pretty much all of the other girls sharing. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, because we did see certain couples or certain women withholding information for a reason. So I'm mm-hmm. When are we going to start to see how Rachel really feels?
Yeah, I feel like she's just very private. I don't know. She, because mm-hmm. she seems friendly enough and personal enough with other people, but maybe she just doesn't want to because everybody knows they've consummated their marriage. I feel like she doesn't want to break that facade that everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like every season it sort of depends on the almost the collective personality of the group. And so uh-huh. if everyone is kind of more reserved or not talking about it, then that's the way it goes. And nobody kind of wants to be the one to announce that. And then, but other seasons, I feel like it was all they were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really all we got from Rachel and Jose in this episode. The next time on, we did see that they're going to do some goat yoga. We saw that Rachel said, like, OK, I went out with my friends. There was alcohol involved and it happened. So I don't know what happened.
So my mind went to, like, she like made out with someone at the bar or something. I don't know. I can't see her doing that, but.
Right. It's like, what else could it be?
Yeah. Maybe she lost her
phone.
She spent
so much money.
Yeah. She spent too much money. It happened.
Right. It happened. Like, maybe she didn't come home and like didn't want to drive and ended up like taking the Uber with her friends.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're blowing out of proportion for something very small. Like, it's going to be, it's going to be something minor.
Oh, you've realized that about Mary at First Sight, that's what they do?
I mean, I've been watching reality television for most of my life. I'm mentally prepared for all of these, like, sneak attacks they try to get on me.
Exactly. They love to do it. So now we're going to rate them. So on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being they're definitely going to get divorced on decision day, and 5 being they're definitely going to stay together. Amy, where would you rate Rachel and Jose? Rosé.
I do think they're definitely going to stay together. But with that said, I will give them a 4 just because, you know, they can be all over each other, but it is becoming the Jose show. So at some point she might kind of raise up some more red flags about that.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Jess?
Yeah, I'm like in a similar mindset. I feel like the same as Amy, like, they're certainly going to make it past decision day, but I'm worried for them in the long run, because I think Rachel will like concede to him enough and finally just get like sick of it. So I'm going to give them a 3 out of 5.
All right. Yeah. I'm so in between. I'm literally mm-hmm. 3.5 because I think they have great potential to make it to decision day and make it past. But I think that if Rachel gets enough, I guess, intervention from the experts, enough to realize that maybe her voice isn't being heard as much, or Jose is trying to dim her light a little bit, then I think it could be a thing where she realizes he may not be the one. Like, maybe he's fun to be around and that's the extent of it. You know, not everybody mm-hmm. that's fun to be around is meant to be your spouse. So, but then I don't know. That would take, it's only 6 more weeks. So it's really not a long time. So I'm going to go with a 4. Only because it's Rachel's natural instinct to be this way in relationships. So I think it would take a lot for her to think, like, to question their relationship, unless they get into a big argument. But we haven't seen that yet. But maybe we will when we see what it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18 plus. So now we are going to jump into Girla. So that is Gil and Mirla. They had a pretty big episode this episode. So the first little bit that we got from them was they were discussing finances. So they're talking about Mirla was writing down everything that they each have to pay for, such as rent, car, insurance, the groceries, and one thing that Gil learned was that Mirla doesn't really know what she spends on groceries. It can be $20, it could be $250. But Gil is very structured and says that he spends $150 every 3 weeks. Are y'all that structured with groceries?
Definitely not. No.
No.
I think that like, I understand what Mirla's saying, though, because this is what I've been wondering this entire season is Mirla spends a lot of money. That's very obvious.
Yeah.
How much does she make relative to what she spends?
Right.
And we find out that, like, she has a decent amount of money. She doesn't carry debt. And so, like, to me, it's perfectly reasonable as long as she's not overspending for her to not pay attention to what she's spending on food. Whereas Gil, who seems like he's on more of a budget, at least from what we understand, right? He's like a firefighter.
Yeah.
Like it makes more sense that he would be budgeting more for food.
Yeah. Right, and he seemed really like, well, don't you eat the same thing? So that made me think that he's probably eating the exact same thing week in, week out. So it's makes it easy to know what you're going to spend. But yeah, for me, I wish I could be more like that, but I kind of have the attitude where it's like, well, you need food. So, and I'm in the mood for this. Like, that's just the one thing. Like, I definitely like have a hard time just like putting a set.
Yeah, you want to buy what you want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like whatever I'm in the mood for. I am the type of person to go to the grocery store, spend $100 on groceries, come home, put it up in the shelves, and then say, all right, well, what am I going to order for dinner?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I feel like Mirla's like that too. Like, I feel like she definitely orders in a decent amount. Like, I just get the vibe that that's what she does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But then he asks her, how much do her lashes cost? Because she has like eyelash extensions. And her answer is irrelevant. One of my favorite Mirla moments this episode.
I'm like, I want to say that anytime I don't want to answer a question, irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Listen, you're out of order. No, you're out of order.
That was so hilarious, but the perfect response. Because yes, that is irrelevant. If she has the money to spend for it, then it is irrelevant. So,
and we knew like that was like a non-negotiable for her, like that she's going to like upkeep those at all. She doesn't want to look like SpongeBob.
Does anybody else find it interesting that like, because we saw her on her wedding day, she was like not about having foundation on her face. Like she was very specific about the makeup she wanted. I'm like, wow, I've never found somebody who like was so regimented with their eyelash extensions, but didn't wear foundation. Because usually I feel like it's like full all the way, full face of makeup or like doesn't care at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. It's like I know some people that do get their lashes done and it's because they don't want to have to do a full face of makeup. Like if you just walk out of the room and you have your lashes done, like you look like you put some effort into it. You can get away with it. And it's like it's more of a natural, nice look without having to go through the effort of a full like beat. So I was like, okay, I can see that. I was like, I know a couple people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did get the moment of them showing each other their phones and showing their bank accounts on their phones. And so Gil sees Mirla's savings and he says, wow, that's a legit savings. We're definitely in like two different tax brackets. and we find out that like primarily his savings are in his 401k. But then he also has a savings that he's keeping at Columbia. So he's been sending money to Columbia ever since he was 22. He said he started out slow and now he still sends money and he's saving it there. But they can't touch that money. And then he also has his 401k. But then obviously with the 401k, you can't really touch that money either until you're not supposed to.
Yeah, you can borrow against it, but you're really not supposed to. And I loved Mirla's shady comment, like, "Oh, your retirement's a little bit slow too." Because he gets on her about her spending, and like he calls her bougie all the time. But it's like, okay, but obviously she has enough money where she can save it all. And I was surprised when she said she only shops. Granted, I don't know how much she's spending on these trips, but she says she only shops 2 to 3 times a year. Like, that's not that bad. I mean, I don't know how much she's spending on these trips, but that's not that bad. Unless I thought by the way he talked about her that she shopped like every like couple weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like when she does shop, she is buying high price items. But it's like, if you think about the quantity or the amount of trips, then that's not that bad.
No, I mean, I don't have like $600 shoes, but like, you know, people like what they like.
Exactly. So, so they basically conclude the conversation with Mirla saying, "Hey, like, if we're going to buy a house, then we basically need to start from scratch. If we can't touch your 401k and we can't touch your savings that's in Columbia." And he's like, yeah, we do. We do need to start from scratch. And I was like, oh gosh, unless they just want to spend her money.
Yeah, she doesn't look like she wants to do that, though.
Right. So that was interesting. I mean, I know everybody has like different saving habits and, you know, everyone has a different method. Everybody was raised differently and taught differently on how to save. So I it did seem like she was taking it in. It wasn't just like she was like reprimanding him for how he saves, and she definitely didn't have a Jose approach to say like, right, okay, this is how you should do it, you need to do it this way. She's like, okay, so that's how you do it, but now we need to, you know, adjust, because that's how you do it and this is how I do it.
So yeah, I think that like I like their approach better than the Jose and Rachel approach, just because I feel like there's not a right and a wrong here. Uh-huh. And I feel like if I would have guessed Mirla's reaction on episode one, it would not have been this. Like, I feel like I would have thought she would have been more like judgmental, but like I feel like she wasn't, because he's sending money back to Columbia, and because I mean, he's a firefighter, he doesn't make as much as, I mean, what is her job? Do we know? She in real estate or something?
Well, she said she works with schools. So basically she works with administrators, because I remember he said like, oh, you teach teachers. She's like, no, I teach administrators.
So gotcha. She helps
schools to help administrators, I guess, do their job better.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I like the way they handled it a little bit better. And I liked the transparency of like, here's what's in my bank account. Like, I feel like you kind of have to do that in a marriage. Like, you have to be honest, you know, you can't hide those things away forever.
Right. Exactly. Because if you follow what Jose said, you got to think about that divorce rate with finances.
That's a made up number. 50% of divorces end in because of money issues. I think you mean 50% of people get divorced.
Yeah,
that's it.
I was like, wait, is that the statistic?
He's just like, pulling numbers out of his butt.
Now I don't know if I trust that whiteboard. So at the group outing, we find out that, Gil shares that he still hasn't gotten a kiss. And he did say when he was helping, which we definitely will get into later with Bao and Johnny, when Gil was really trying to help Johnny in his position, and he was like, you know, you really have to learn your spouse and understand that you're not going to get the perfect spouse. He said, I told Mirla that like, if I knew someone who knew her and they told me about her, I would not have wanted to meet her. I was like, hey, that's very honest.
I love how he was saying it. He was just like, yeah, but I'm happy with her, you know, like, he was just like, I'll take you now, you'll do.
Right.
But yeah, I never would have given you a chance. And I mean, we're talking about how we love Mirla, but I also love like how blunt Gil is, and he
yes,
but he does it in such like a charming way. So
yeah. Yeah, I think they have a very fun interaction with each other. Like, they constantly pick on each other, but like, I was worried for a moment that like Mirla was actually upset that he kept calling her bougie and like talking about all that stuff, but she seemed to like not be bothered by it. She's like, oh, well, you know, it's fine. We pick at each other a little bit. It's fun.
Yeah, because she said she actually likes that they do that. And so I was like, that's good, because some people would, I know definitely some wise in past seasons who would not have liked that joke. Like, we don't know each other. You can't joke with me like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's working so well because she's being so playful with him and she's not taking herself too seriously. She's like, yeah, I am extra. When are you going to get on my level?
Even with his mom, she like really is like dissing his shoes and stuff, like,
right.
Yeah, and a pair of shoes doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Right,
we'll be working on that. What's he gonna, I think she said that, get on my level, like in front of the mom too, like the first meeting. So
So we do get them debriefing after they met with the couples, and more so them like getting all that info from the other couples. And Mirla was alone with the dog, and she was like, okay, he didn't come in the room, but he did slobber on me. He's like, all right, cool. I'll try to figure out a way to not get him to slobber.
It is like, here's the thing. As much as I like Gil and Mirla, and I really am loving Mirla a lot, like, my issue is that it's so irresponsible of them to match up someone with someone, like someone who has a dog with someone who doesn't like pets.
Yeah.
Because like, it's a very specific thing. And like, anybody who saw Gil, anybody who's a pet owner and saw Gil like kiss his dog is like, that is completely normal behavior.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even half of what I would like. I come home and you do like the puppy voice and you give them like smooches and kisses and pets. And like, you, they rub all over you and you're covered in hair. But guess what? No one cares. But that is not how Mirla thinks and acts. And so it's like, you can't, how is that going to work? Like, I don't care if they're like a match made in heaven. If she does not like dogs at the end of the day, I don't understand how it works.
Exactly. And it's like, I know they probably didn't even consider this, but it ended up work. It, I think right now it's working out, because Gil is not your typical dog owner, like not allowing hype in the room, not allowing hype and, you know, to do certain things. He's not allowed on the furniture. I'm like, my dog, she has her own pillow in my bed. Like, I was like, if she had to get any dog owner, Gil would be the one. So I think I almost just think that the experts got lucky. I don't feel like that specifically was on purpose. So we did see, like you guys are mentioning, an interaction with Gil's mom and Mirla. So they played a recording at their, we get a flashback of them playing a recording at their wedding, and of her having a message for Gil and how she wish she had been there, or like she has the best wishes for them. And so they FaceTime his mom and they speak in Spanish the whole time. And he tells his mom that she's bougie, but she was like, you know, how can I get him on my level? And his mom was like, you know, it's very important that y'all love and respect each other. And Mirla does say, like, your son is very handsome. And Gil really liked to hear that, because right now with her not kissing him, he's questioning, you know, if she's even attracted to him. So I really like this conversation.
Yeah, it was cute. Yep. I don't think Gil is like, was too worried about it, but you know, it's funny to see these couples where it's like, they kind of need that third party to learn anything about each other. We saw that with Brett and Ryan as well, with Pastor Cal. So.
Yeah.
I think Mirla definitely seems the type that is not like giving out reassurances or words of affirmation freely too often. So like, I can imagine her not calling Gil handsome like too much to his face. You know what I mean? Like, so you kind of need someone in there for her to say it to, instead of saying it directly to him.
She's one of those people that you just have to, I know communication is so important, But it's like, as you learn Mirla, you learn that she just needs that time to open up. So until she gets to that point where she can openly tell you, you just read it through her actions. I feel like
she's going to get you chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there definitely been people that have put in no effort. And so, I mean, I think she's being as thoughtful as, you know, she knows how to be. Mm-hmm. And, he could read it through her actions. She's been so present. She definitely hasn't been somebody who's just like, oh, no, I'm not. You know, we can hang out when we're on camera when there's, you know, time to film. But because I even remember that scene they had also with, you know, she was eating lunch outside like downtown and he drove his fire truck up or, you know, what kind of, maybe the aid car. I don't know. I watched Station 19. So he drove the truck up and like said hi to her. And I thought, I was like, oh, if they kissed, that would have been a perfect moment to kiss.
I had that same thought where it was like, it's so like a missed opportunity that they're not kissing like that. Like, should just inspire her to do so.
Yeah. 2 weeks without kissing seems like a long time when you're on such like an expedited like relationship plan, you know.
Yeah,
like if you're living with this person, like this isn't a normal relationship that you've been in for 2 weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you've vacationed together, you've traveled, you know what I mean, you've done so much together, you're living together. Mm-hmm. And no kiss, it's wild to me.
Yeah, and it's like they're a third of the way through. You know, like they're almost there. So I don't know. It makes me nervous, but I feel like when we do finally get the kiss, it's going to be special because they spent all of this time building their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what's concerning is like when Gil asks Mirla's friend, like her intimacy with other guys, like, cause he's known her for what, like over 10 years.
Yeah.
And he was like, have you seen her with other men? Do they kiss? Like, have you seen any PDA? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
It's no.
Right. Just flat out. No. I don't think I have.
That's why. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a PDA person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like, I don't want to like make out in front of other people. Like, it's not just uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
No, like not even a little bit. Like a peck in front of other people is fine. You know, like a hug, a handhold, all acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like big on, like, I wouldn't like sit on someone's lap in front of other people. You know what I mean? And so like, I could see like shades of Mirla in myself, but like, it still feels like a lot to not even like kiss in front of other people.
Yeah. That's like next level privacy. Like I get the desire for the privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But even her close friend, like this housewarming party, she invites basically one person and she hasn't done anything in front of him, you know?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. It's a little nerve wracking. But we did get the housewarming party. She did get, so she told the other wives that she was getting Lucille's catered. So I did want to do a shout out to Lucille's because I've been once. I think it was earlier this year. It's delicious. Just so in case anybody is curious, I think I got some, I remember having an appetizer there that I normally wouldn't ever get. But it was delicious. What was it? Oh, it was fried green tomatoes. I was like,
ooh,
right. Like I was thinking like, I probably would never get this. You know, but it was delicious. And then I think I had like a steak or something, but it's a black owned restaurant in Houston. So definitely go check out Lucille's because I was looking at the French toast they had in that platter and it looked delicious. It's like, I need to go to brunch there. I've only been to dinner. So we had, Gil's, friends there and, I think just one of Mirla's friends. And Gil's friends thought that she's like the female version of Gil from what they've seen so far. And they're just being very playful, very comfortable with each other, which is a very good sign. They do agree that they've been clicking, and then, you know, we get them pulled aside, and, you know, the conversation with Gil and Mirla's friend was, you know, okay, you've never seen her do PDA with anybody. Okay. That's a little concerning. This is very interesting. But then when Mirla talked to Gil's friend, it was interesting because she was just talking about how, you know, this is her, you know, this is her usual pace. And, you know, she's talking about being money driven. She's money driven. He's not money driven. And so she's like, you know, for example, I've worked for all the money that I have, and, you know, I just want to make sure that we are in a position to be able to save up for somewhere to live nice. Cause like, I'm not going to move into an apartment like he's living in now. And so his friend
was rough.
Yes. His friend
that was like kind of shady. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. To one extent, I can get it, right? Like, if you're Mirla and you grow up impoverished and you don't have a ton of money, mm-hmm. it totally makes sense to like be driven by it later on in your life and have yeah. a really like sharp focus on earning money. And she's not just spending it, she's saving it too. She's not like Jose, who doesn't seem to spend anything and just saves, but like she does find money important in her life because when she was younger she didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Totally fair. I think the hard part is like Mirla is not ever really willing to compromise. Like yeah. it seems like she's like, you do your thing, I'll do mine, that's fine, but like I will not compromise and do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't she saying like when she was looking at the savings and stuff, or they were talking about that, and she was just like, okay, then we just can't get a house. And it wasn't like, oh, I might adjust my spending to put more, you know, it's like
right, because she won't adjust her way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a weird balance because you think like, okay, it's fair because she's basically saying she has full autonomy over her money. But then you're like, okay, well, now you're in a marriage. So is she supposed to change her lifestyle, or is she just supposed to kind of have a shift her perspective on her money and how she spends it? I don't know. It's a tough balance. Cause like you said earlier, Jess, that, you know, she has no debt. So she has a great savings. So, you know, she's spending wisely. She's just yeah. spending on things she wants.
I mean, I think if she could even like only buy two pairs of shoes instead of like three, like that's yeah. like $600, you know, yeah. you could put towards a house, but they could find other, or I mean, I know I'm going, this is a long shot here, but stay with me. She could walk the dog and not pay for the dog.
Right.
That would save the money. Poor Hype long just shot. Wants love, and she's not giving it to him.
Yeah. Wasn't Gil on, what is it called? Unfiltered this week?
He was. I think that was his first appearance. And
okay.
He dressed very nicely. He was very... he is somewhat bougie, I would say. Like, there wasn't like a ton of insight on this one. So okay. maybe he's just a little reserved.
Yeah.
They more talked about like meeting his mom and stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay. That's how sweet it was. So no behind the scenes information.
It was Gil, Michaela, and, Ryan.
Okay. So on the next time on for Girla, we did see that Gil was having a conversation with Mirla saying, like, I want to feel wanted. And that was pretty much it. Which we know that's his desire. We know that's what he wants. We know that he's had a concern that, because he talked a little bit about that at their housewarming party, was that, you know, he wants to make sure that she couldn't just have been married to anybody and be fine. He wants to know that she is happy being married to him specifically. And he hasn't really gotten the vibe that that's the case, more so just that they get along really well. And, you know, as long as it was someone she got along with, mm-hmm. things would be great. He just wants it to be specific. So
yeah. Mirla's so independent that I think that like that is the concern with someone she's with, is that they just feel like she could do it on her own and they don't, you know, she doesn't need them, which is true. She doesn't need them. She can do things on her own, but like marriage is like a partnership. So it's not just like two independent people coming together. It's like you working together. You are like a couple. And I don't know if like Mirla sees it that way. She's not really giving the impression that that's how she views it, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. So anything else to add for Gil and Mirla from this episode?
I don't think so.
All right. Then let's get to the ratings. Jess, where would you rate Gil and Mirla?
They're so hard to read just because like, yes. I guess we didn't hear as much about the dog this week. That's like the big thing that holds me back from giving them a decent score, because I think they could get over the money things and stuff like that. And I do think they have a lot in common, and because they have like the same kind of joking tendencies. I'm going to give them a 3. I'd give them a 4 if not for the dog situation.
Yeah. Because we know that's so important. Mm-hmm. Like, I think all three of us know that that's like a deal breaker. I'm going to go only because of all the couples, of the 5 couples, I think they are one of the ones that are meshing the best. Not the best, but I think they're getting along so well, and it's mm-hmm. pretty clear why they were matched. Like, they are very complimentary to one another, and so I just wonder if they're going to be able to get to the physical. And so because of that, I think I'm going to go ahead and give them a 4, because I think Gil is the type of person, like, yes, he thinks that is very important. Yes, it is very important for him to get a kiss before decision day. And I think that very well will happen. And I think it's possible they might not consummate their marriage before decision day. But a kiss, I think Mirla can do that. So because I'm holding out hope, I'm going to go ahead and give them a 4.
I think I'm at a 4 as well. I think, you know, Mirla, she knows that she doesn't want to get divorced at the end. I think she's going to get that. He's going to get a kiss like the week before or something.
Yeah.
And, I think personality wise, they're meshing. I think she also knows that like she is somebody that's not for everybody. So yeah. I think the fact that she got somebody she's attracted to and is like playful with her, I think that's like a total win for her. I think she views it that way. And I also liked how Gil just seemed to be really understanding in the like the guys hangout of like giving advice and sort of So I think I'll put them on 4.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty consistent with where we've been across the season. Like, we've been back and forth. Like, we were 4, then a 3, then a 4, then back at a 3. Then we maintained the 3 episodes, 5 and 6. And we were at 4 last week. And now we're back at like, kind of like a 3.5. So we'll see. It's like, it's almost like they're not giving us enough to put us over the edge, but just enough to think that they're not a train wreck.
I need to see her like pet the dog or kiss him.
Yes.
And then I can bump him up a point, you know, one or the other. Either one is fine. Or kiss the dog. I'd bump him up to a 5 if she kissed the dog.
Oh, man. She's probably like a hard no.
Exactly. Like,
are you going to change your lifestyle? No.
No, not even. Are you going to kiss the dog? No, not even.
Irrelevant. So that's Gearla for you. So the next couple we're going to go to is definitely a couple that continues to give us the bare minimum.
even their ship name is boring. It's Brian.
Brian, yeah.
Like, Brian, what's or options? Rhett.
Rhett?
It's, or Rhett. I mean, they're both not great.
Yeah, their name turns into like two other names that are just names.
Yeah. It's like, then we continue to be confused. Ugh. Like, is it a person or their ship name? Just like, I can't get right. Who's Bryant? Who's Bryant? Who's Brett and who's Ryan? Mm-hmm.
So many times I would write down the wrong name in my notes, honestly. Yes. And it's not because Brett's name is like, you know, a masculine name or whatever. It's just because it's like, I still don't know them very well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, at this point, it's just like, they're just interchangeable. So we kind of got a different type of segments with them. So we started out with them talking to their, like, hanging out with their own friends, kind of reflecting on the relationship. And so Ryan met up with his friend Fernando, who is a new dad and who was also married. And Ryan Sullivan's been easy so far. He's noticed, like, she's not a big traveler. She's high stress, high anxiety. He explains, like, the kayaking, the plane, and that they still haven't been intimate. And meanwhile, they are pumping iron the entire time. but we didn't learn anything from this conversation.
It's nothing new. The only thing I feel like I learned was that Ryan wants kids in the near future, which I don't remember, like, if he said that he wants them that quickly. Uh-huh. But the other thing I want to say about Ryan is, listen, just because Brett gets nervous on planes and, like, nervous in those situations doesn't mean she won't travel. It just means that, like, it's going to take her a minute till she's nervous about it. Like, you can't really change your fears. Like, if you have a fear of flying, like, it's kind of difficult to not have that fear. And I feel like, instead of just, like, constantly talking negatively about it, I wish he would be, like, a little bit more comforting to her. And I don't, obviously we didn't see that scene, but it's something we want to see desperately. We don't know exactly what she did. To me, it sounded like she, like, gripped his hand so tightly or something like that, that he, like, almost, like, broke his hand or something.
Right. It's like, does she scream, startle everyone around her?
Yeah.
We can only imagine at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has these certain things that he's worried about, but he's not discussing them with her. And yeah, I don't get that, like, warmth from him anyway. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that his attitude is like, oh, that sucks that she's like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just don't understand. I just don't get, like, Brett, I understand why they cast her, because she seems like pretty fun, like, pretty interesting. Obviously her hair stands out. Oh my God, she has red hair. Who would have known? Yeah.
You know what they say about red hair.
It's like, jeez. But I don't understand why Ryan was cast. He just seems like he doesn't really have a huge personality. Like, he doesn't get emotional, or like, he doesn't show anything besides he's always at the same level of, like, meh.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah, it's a consistent meh. Like, I just want some variety at some point. I just don't know.
The one thing he has going for him is that Brett says that it's like Baywatch because she finds him very attractive, and we get this, like, slow mo of him taking his shirt off.
And that's what you missed on Unfiltered, was that Ryan taking delight in watching, you know, because they're watching stuff that they haven't seen aired before. And so he was just like, oh, well, that's flattering. And he just, like, totally loved that whole scene.
Of course.
That's hilarious. Oh, gosh. These two, I mean, we also saw Brett talking to her friend, and, you know, she said, like, you know, I'm a relax on vacation kind of person. And then of course, yes, tells him about him looking like an action figure. And so we clearly know she's attracted to him, but what more is there? Because she didn't reveal anything else to her friend. That was literally to the extent of the conversation.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, so we didn't get anything from this, but now they're going to have their housewarming party. Right. We'll learn something. Yeah. No, they like play games. And when Ryan asks for advice, this one girl just says, happy wife, happy life. Like, what in the world? Like, can you please? I hate that saying so much. Like, it's the worst because it really just, it puts all the onus on like the husband or the other partner, I should say, to make sure the wife is happy. It's like, no, both partners need to be happy.
Right. Yes.
Jeez.
It's, yeah. This housewarming party did not give me any new information besides the fact that all their friends that showed up were married. So they thought that was so cool. And Ryan just casually calls out Brett for missing work a couple days ago
on television,
calls her out to say like, oh, you know, if she skips work, you know, it's not always because she's sick. She's like, what? not like everyone Brett knows is going to be watching this,
but still. And the other thing is like, after when they're doing like an interview with just Brett and Ryan after the party, yes. And Brett was like, oh, I just want to be around them all the time. The face that Ryan makes, I'm like, he hated someone at that party. One of her friends he absolutely can't stand. I want to know which one it is.
It's like we have to get, there's always some point later on where friends come back around again. So we'll see if that, because it's bound, someone from that party that he's not fond of is bound to make another appearance. So we should find out. I thought the most intriguing person at this party was Ryan's friend Erin Beth, who said,
was that her name?
Yes, Erin Beth. Not to be confused with Sarah,
right?
Beth.
Like, that's taking it up a notch.
It's not confusing at all,
right? I honestly have never heard that combination before. Mm-hmm. But Erin Beth said, you know, Ryan is tender with his feelings.
And, I can't.
You just and Brett's just like, okay, well, like, we haven't gotten to that tender place yet. So what advice did you have? And Erin Beth is like, well, just be gentle.
It's like, what is their relationship? I'm so confused.
What does Erin Beth know about Ryan that we don't? Like, no. I'm sorry, but a friend should never call another friend tender. It's just weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just let's only use the word tender when we're talking about like chicken tenders. Why?
Exactly.
I know. Yeah. Erin Beth. Very interesting. Interesting person she is, because that whole, like, I was drawn in purely from her tone of voice. Like,
why is she talking like that?
It's just, he's very tender. It's right. Like, all right.
Right.
Like, tell me more.
We're at a party. Can you speak up?
She leaned in, too, like it was secret.
Yes.
She needs to spill the tea. She knows something.
Yes, there's something we don't know that she knows that we need to know. At the guys meetup, Ryan was very proud of the boudin balls he was bringing to the housewarming party from Lake Charles, which I thought was interesting because I'm pretty sure he could find some boudin balls around Houston, but maybe he just wanted the authentic thing from Lake Charles.
I don't even know.
it's like the closest city to us in Louisiana.
Okay.
So I would say probably like 2 hours. No, Port Arthur. I'm trying to think. Maybe about 2 hours east of Houston. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours or so. Which feels like quite a drive just to get some boudin balls. But I'm not judging him. let's see. He also, you know, said that he does feel like they're still doing like the dating friend thing. He doesn't quite feel married yet.
And yeah, I just they feel very like friend zoney to me. Mm-hmm. He describes Brett is he says Brett is cool as hell. Like, that's such a weird way to describe someone you're married to.
Yeah. Like,
it just feels very friendly to me, not, you know, yes, romantic or not, you know, passionate, not any of those things.
Yeah. And did you notice when they were like the guys hanging out, and then when Johnny was like expressing his concerns, I think anyone was saying any kind of concern, he was just nodding vehemently, like, yes, in agreement, but he wasn't really like adding on to anything, but like, yeah, I got you there. Like,
yes, I saw that. Like, geez, tell us how you really feel. Thank you. Just like, yes, okay, yes. if he had been audible, that's what we would have heard. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I'm like, can you tell us your true thoughts? Because clearly you feel some kind of way.
Very excited to know that not everyone has, you know, not everything's going perfect for everybody else either.
Right. On the next episode, we did see, what did we see? We didn't really see. Did y'all remember anything for them? I don't
remember seeing anything, but then again, that just kind of, yeah, is more of the same, I guess.
It's on brand.
Yeah.
So I'm going to maintain my three from last week, because I think we're still, it's either one or two things, or one of two things. Either they're being so boring because things are so good, or there's nothing there. That's, mm-hmm, why we're not getting that much footage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm torn. I don't, at least it's not like crashing and burning. They're not getting along.
Right.
But what's going right besides the fact that they can get along with each other?
So. Yeah, I gave them a two. I just think they're like friend zoney. I just don't see any passion between them. At most, Brett finds Ryan attractive, and like, mm-hmm, will either one of them ever act on it? I just have a feeling that Ryan is going to get frustrated with Brett and like the anxieties she has, or the, you know, the fears she has, and he's going to just like drop her on decision day. That's my prediction.
Oh, me.
Which is really unfair, because obviously Brett is so much better than Ryan.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What about you, Amy?
I think I'll do a three for them. Yeah, because for whatever reason, she is attracted to him, and mm-hmm, there's not like huge red flags right now. Like, we haven't seen, right, it crash yet, like, but it's not going anywhere either, so that's why I'm kind of right in the middle.
Yeah, it's so interesting too, because the first two episodes we were at a three, and then episodes 3 through 6 we were at a solid two, and then episode 7 we went back up to a three, and now we're at like a very low three.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, they're, I mean, it's like that meme, or like, so like people on Twitter say, like, yes, queen, give us nothing. That's what their relationship yes, is doing.
Give me absolutely nothing every episode. Okay, great.
Exactly. Oh, I don't know. I obviously hope for the best for all these couples, but just like, I don't know what it's going to take to kind of get there for them, to kind of get them over this like friendly zone, basically.
Mm-hmm. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sorry, a little sidetracked. My dog Pepper is chasing a fly around the living room. It's just like, what is she looking at? It's just a fly that she's trying to catch. Good luck to her. So we have two couples left. And so we're going to shift gears into a couple that kind of they did give us a lot this episode, but I'm still just so torn on how I feel about them, which is definitely shifting gears from like how I have felt about them the entire season so far, which has only been 2 weeks of their time, but 8 weeks of ours. So we are going to talk about Zhao.
Zhao.
Johnny and Val. So we get a segment where like Johnny is talking to his friend. Are they each talking to a friend? I remember Bao was talking to her.
Bao is talking apartment. To, I don't know how to pronounce his name. H-U-Y? Hoy?
Yeah.
I don't know how she pronounces it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, Johnny is like gone when this is happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So when she saw Johnny, she was thinking like, okay, frat guy, he's a bro. But she's starting to see like why they're matched, because she's introverted, he's extroverted, she's guarded, but he's open. So she's seeing how they can balance each other out. But she did notice on the honeymoon, he was being very dismissive, not taking things seriously. And so she's concerned about that. And she's like, she tells Huey about like him leaving, and Huey did say like, okay, some guys do withdraw, but it doesn't mean he's not committed. And she's like, well, I'm super optimistic. So like, if anybody's going to leave this relationship, it's going to be him, which I think we've all suspected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think like Bao is right on the money. Like Bao is certainly committed, but like, Johnny doesn't seem like he, even though he wants to be married, I think what's really tripping him up is he's never been in a long-term relationship from what I understand. Yeah. Like he always cuts and runs as soon as one little thing goes wrong, and not for nothing, but like relationships are roller coasters. Like you're going to have fights. You're going to have disagreements. It's very natural, especially in like a heightened stressful situation, like being married at first sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very true. I feel for Bao because it's very clear. It's not like she's like in the dark about where he is right now, but she's trying. She's trying so hard, but it's like, what can she do when he's so in his head about their relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like, so I tweeted this other day. Like, I think he is so in his way, which we do see, especially with the guys meeting. So I think I'm trying to see if we got this before the guys meeting or after. But we did get a segment where he is talking about. Well, no. Okay. The guys meeting did come first. So, you know, all the guys are talking about what's going great, what isn't going great, what, you know, what's happening in the relationships. And Gil brings up a question like, okay, are y'all like attracted to your wives? And Johnny's like, yeah, sort of. And Gil's like, no, I'm not taking that for an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely Mirla's husband. And so Johnny's like, well, okay, I think she's physically attractive. Well, he, in a roundabout way, basically says that she's physically attractive, but she's not his type when it comes to personality. So what is that? I mean, I get what it means, but what does it mean, you know, with Bao?
Yeah, these are red flags. This is red flag city. Like, to me, this is Johnny. Like, obviously we know he finds her physically attractive. He said it. We saw him like with the whole bathing suit segment and him putting lotion on her, all of that stuff, right? But like, to me, he just, to me, it seems like he doesn't think that they're like, they have chemistry with their personalities yet. Mm-hmm. But I really think he's the one who's self-sabotaging in that way.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. like, it's like they have a tiny disagreement and he like shuts down all their communication. But we've seen them like have silly moments and have like romantic moments. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's just not giving it a fair shot. And he expects that after 2 weeks, everything will just be like fireworks, romance. But it's, that's just not the reality of most relationships.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's been really thrown anytime she says anything like just like about hygiene or like her routine, like yeah. that's not going to happen. And I just think there might be some barrier there where it's like he has lived alone so long and is so particular that there's certain things that he's just freaking out a bit about, that it's so early on and doesn't see like that you can talk around these things or, you know, do some work on himself to like let Bao do her own thing. Mm-hmm. Because I think he would run into them with anyone, that no one's going to meet exactly like his rules that he yeah. like, sets for himself.
Yeah. And even Bao's aware, like she told the ladies, like, I know Johnny has a checklist and he figured he would get someone with everything on that checklist. And so it's like, mm-hmm. Bao's aware that this is kind of like his thought process. She's like, he's so used to, you find one thing wrong. Okay, cool. I can go swipe to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite Bao moments this episode was when she's talking to her friend and she's like, oh, Johnny needed a reset. I don't need no effing reset.
Right.
I was like, hell yeah. I love spicy Bao.
Yes. It's like, yeah, come on. You've been married for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just concerning that he's ready to like cut and run rather than like stay and work it out. Uh-huh. Like, you don't have to leave the whole apartment, right? Like, that's just like leaving the experiment. Like, if you really do have to remove yourself, like, perfectly fine, right? Like, do what's best for you. But
yeah,
I just feel like he's not giving it a fair shake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I thought it was funny that Bao said, like, for their housewarming, they're doing like an island theme because, you know, they just got back from the honeymoon. And Mirla's like, that was not an island.
Love Mirla so much.
That was hilarious.
She's like, that was a retirement home.
Right. She's like, would not let that get, like,
yeah,
would not let that go unchallenged.
Right.
So perfect. Like,
you're not about to trick the audience to think we were in some paradise.
And you know what? I was noticing that I was like really impressed with these apartments and the views and stuff. I was like, where uh-huh. did they put them up? And I totally think we were talking about last time, Asia. I totally think it's the Mirla effect. They were
yes.
not going to put them in any old complex.
Oh, yeah. They had to go big because their honeymoon was such crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we can't have Mirla pulling a Zach, not the Zach this season, but, you know, yeah. never moving in.
Right. Yeah, I've seen there. I looked up the place that they're staying at. And I mean, because we get that outside shot every time. Mm-hmm. And it's near the med center, if I'm not mistaken, which is like where all of the hospitals in Houston are. So there's a lot of like major hospitals in Houston in the same area. Mm-hmm. And it's near there. And it's also, it's like not far from where the Houston Texans play. It's close to where the zoo is. So I wouldn't doubt that we could get some outings like that, like them going to the zoo, depending on the time frame of when they film this. Yeah, it's super nice. I mean I know we already talked about that, but I know they just knew they could not do anything else specifically because of me.
Everybody should be thanking her.
Yes, exactly. She's like, y'all do know I told them. Mm-hmm. Unless it's this, I wouldn't be surprised if she picked it. She's like, hey, I've heard about Latitude. That's where we're staying, right? They're like, oh, no, I don't, no, we're not. But that's where we're staying, right? That'd be hilarious. So back at the guys outing, Johnny gets a little thrown off by the fact that what was it that triggered him to get up and walk away?
I think that, like, he basically was saying, like, he doesn't think he's ready for all of this. Like, he's used to a certain type. She's not his type. And he thought he was ready, but he's not. And that's when, like, Jose, I love their little bromance. It's so cute. Jose comforts him.
Yes. So, like, Johnny storms off and it's thankful, like, I am thankful for Jose finally in this episode for being there. It's just like we're just getting this story arc of their relationship. But he's basically, Johnny is realizing that he's saying that he doesn't think he was ready. He thought he was ready for marriage, but he's thinking maybe he wasn't. And he's like, she's and then bleep. He's like, she's bleep because I'm bleep. And then he's crying. I feel like he almost feels like he's stuck. Like he's reached the point at that moment. It feels like he's reached a point where he doesn't want this. But what is he going to do? Leave 2 weeks into the experiment? And he just feels like he has no way out. And now she's stuck with someone who doesn't want her. It felt like in this moment that he just didn't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like maybe being with the guys brought out a little more honesty from him. And it was sort of like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you said something out loud that has been weighing on you. And like sort of that, like just feeling the weight of that. Like, what does this mean? Like, and I don't want to screw her over and she doesn't deserve this. But yeah, this was
where I think he, like him hanging out with the other guys exacerbated the issue because he feels like they're so much further along than him and Bao are. And he just like, he doesn't feel the way about Bao that like a lot of the other guys feel about their wives. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it probably just like overwhelmed him even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amy, it's like what you were talking about, Paradise. Like, I know y'all refer to Married at First Sight, but it's also like, yeah, like Noah and Abigail, you look around. And you're like, okay, we're not there. So is something wrong with us? You know, where every relationship is different.
Right. And then he knows more about her because of their past. So then it's sort of like I don't think they can really compare even more so because they're going to have this different dynamic where it's like, okay, we already know each other. So the kind of fights they're having, which is what Bao was talking about with the women, like they're just different types of, or maybe that was with his friends, but they're just like more extreme and like deeper kind of conflict.
Less petty, but deeper. Yeah. So we did get them back together and they're in bed, which, why are all of their conversations in bed?
It's so awkward too, because they just like stare at each other as they lay on the pillows. And it's like, can you guys just sit up and have a conversation? Like, this is so awkward.
Exactly. It's like the only time we get them talking is in bed or at that dinner table. I'm like, I really hope they're talking otherwise. But he tells her, like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with me in this relationship. I don't know why I keep focusing on just the negatives. Like, I know, he tells us, like, I know she's into this. I know she's into me. But why am I the one focusing on the negatives? And he said he went into this for the right. He knows he went into this for the right reasons, but he just doesn't know if he was ready. And she says she has so many thoughts about this. And he's like, okay, well, we can just sleep on it and talk about it later. And she's like, well, I'm going to stay up all night just thinking about it. My mind's going to be spinning. And then they go to commercial and that's the end of the conversation. I'm like, how did they actually wrap this up? Did they just go to sleep? What happened? Cliffhanger.
I got the feeling that like this was the night before the housewarming party just because of Bao's demeanor at the housewarming party.
Yeah. I think it was because the next day with the housewarming party, you know, he's on this because him having the thought like, okay, let's just sleep on it, Because he's like happy that he's gotten it off of his chest.
Right. So now he can just like, okay, focus on the party. And she's like, oh, thanks for, you know, handing me this trash.
Right. Exactly. It's like, whew, okay. So glad that I got off that, got that off of my chest. Not totally dismissing how she has just, what she's going to do with this information she's received. But yeah, he tells us like, okay, this is one of the most, with the housewarming party, this is one of the things I've looked forward to most, is hanging out with other married couples. But he says with Val, he's realized there's no spark. And so he's trying to develop all the stuff that they need in a relationship with no spark, where normally there's a spark and then you try to develop other things. And you have Val, she's like, well, I don't know, in her confessional, I don't know how I feel about my marriage, because me and Johnny have a lot of talking to do. The producer says, are you stressed? And she's like, I want to do this and get it over with.
Oh, poor Val. I felt so bad for her here.
Yes. It's so funny. We always get two different Bows, like happy, giddy Bow, or very serious, I want a brilliant mind Bow.
Yeah, let's go back to like to lightsaber Bow, because that's like one of my favorite Bows. Just want her to have a lightsaber again.
Yes.
And that's what Johnny talked about on the last Unfiltered, was kind of how she has these two sides and is really, they have very different styles. I think this discussion reflected that, where it's like he just wants to say everything how it is, and she's worried about like the perception. And so when they have the talk with Pastor Cal too, it's like she's not airing everything. So yeah, I just think that like she can put on the happy face at the party, but even just that difference about them is concerning to him too.
Yeah. He's like, he just doesn't know how to handle it, or it's almost as if like, if it's different, he doesn't want anything to do with it, rather than learning like, okay, this is what's different about her. Let me learn and adapt.
Yeah. He pretty much just thought he was going to get like the perfect woman and that was going to be it. And he wouldn't have any work to do. When relationships take work, it doesn't matter how compatible you are, you still need to work at them.
Yeah. I think if Bao had not applied for this, then we'd be seeing Johnny on, if the show Unmatchable still existed, they'd be like, okay, we're gonna put Johnny here because he's got this very specific view.
Right. Does it not exist anymore?
I don't know. Do they have a new season? I don't think they did.
I was thinking it would be after this season. Don't know if it maybe was renewed for season two. Yeah. Right. Because it was
all these like half started episodes in the app still. So I guess I could resume them if I ever, you know, get enough downtime.
Right. Okay. I found that TBA on a release date for season two of Unmatchables, in case anyone was curious.
Okay, so that means there is one. It just hasn't been announced. All right.
Maybe. I don't know if it's saying that they are officially renewed.
See, I think I want there to be one just because it'll be Houston, right? So then at least you can check out if there's more people you might know.
Right. How funny would that be? Like, hey, I saw you on Unmatchables. So also at the housewarming party, we did see that, you know, they got the Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman book that we were referring to earlier. Val's friend got that. Val was excited. She ran over and gave her friend a hug. And Johnny big hug. And Johnny was just visibly uncomfortable. I'm like, what? I'm like, it always confuses me when we hear him say, oh, she doesn't want affection, when it's like, I feel like she's making it very clear that she's attracted to him. She's into him and she wants to be affectionate. I kind of feel like she's giving a vibe.
She even said like it was easier for her to show physical affection like first.
Yeah.
No, it's very obvious that like she's definitely attracted to him.
Yeah. So she tells his friends that she feels like he's about 90% in, whereas she's 100% in. And then he tells her friends that, you know, he's around, like in sports terms, he's around a 65. And I don't know why he couldn't just say like 65%. Like that translates to everyone. But like in sports terms, around a 65. And they're like, okay, how can you get to the last 35? And he's like, I need us to like be more intimate. And Bao's friend said, well, one thing to know about Bao is she has a lot of love to give. And so Johnny is just kind of like, okay, you know, cool. Which I think this all goes back to what Pastor Cal was saying. This is a him issue, not a her issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which it almost feels like he's waiting for her to do something to kind of shift his, how he's feeling, when it's just him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's anything she can do.
No, I think like she's just being as patient as she can be, but like, I guess she's only going to be able to hang on for so long, you know, like he needs to either like commit or like he needs to get over whatever like petty small things, like the shower situation. Like, bro, get over it. Not everybody showers like 3 times a day. Yeah. Like, calm down a little bit. Change the sheets if you're really that concerned about it. Like, I understand if you know, if I work out, I don't work out, but if I did, I probably would shower after. Like, I get sweaty. I want to shower before I get into bed. I can understand that. But like showering right before bed, if you're like perfectly clean, like, just, you're going to need to compromise a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So the last segment we got with them, they were once again in bed. He said the housewarming felt really good. And Bao says, like, she was really overwhelmed getting ready for it, but he stepped in. So she felt like, you know, she's starting to tell that he can make this work. And she respects, like, you know, the work ethic that he put into it. And he said, like, you know, I feel like things are going to be really smooth moving forward. There are going to be no waves. And she's like, well, there are going to be waves. Like, that's inevitable. He's like, why do you have to ruin the picture? And she's like, no, waves are beautiful. And then they kiss. So I thought that was a way to go out on a positive note. I thought that mm-hmm. was a good moment.
Yeah.
And on the next time on, Bao said that they're both really happy, but then the preview ends with a tense conversation at dinner where we see Bao say F no, and it didn't seem like there was much editing around it because they both were very serious. So What could they be talking about?
I don't know, but I'm glad she's standing up for herself if it is something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's concerning. I feel like Bao has like a spicy side that can come out. Like, she can have a temper, like mm-hmm. when she's just like, I wanted a brilliant mind. Yes. Like shades of brilliant mind Bao. And I'm like excited to see it for like obviously the drama, but I'm like, damn, like I really want Johnny and Bao to work out. So like mm-hmm. I hope that it's nothing too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nervous. What's the, oh no, the neither one was on Unfiltered. No,
but
right?
they showed like the clip, and then they try to force other people to talk about their friend, you know? Like, what do you think about how Johnny reacted? And
love it.
Oh gosh. So Amy, where would you rate Bao on Johnny at this point?
Man, I'm gonna have to give him a 3. It pains me. I thought they were gonna be 5s all the way through.
Yes.
But this just, it is. It's red flags with Johnny's behavior. And I feel like if he had more relationship experience, he would notice like how amazing Bao is to be like so patient with him. Like, he'd appreciate that even more. Like, I know he appreciates it, but like, she's putting up with these things and like giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I did also like when she was talking to his friend that we got her walkthrough of all her feelings as she was walking down the aisle. Like, and I could totally picture her like processing all those things. Like, no, not frat party Johnny, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it wasn't just like, oh, I had a crush on him. Great. It was like, oh, but these other things I know about him. So I think she'll, if for some reason they don't work out, like she's going to be fine. She'll find her brilliant mind. But yeah, I just really want them to work out. I hope this is just kind of like those, they're just like feeling each other out. And they're going to come out stronger on the other end. But right now, it's not looking as good as it has before. Like, yeah. So I have to go 3.
Fingers crossed. Where are you at, Jess?
Yeah, I'm still very hopeful for them. I think that, like, let's, like, 6 weeks is a long time to go left. And I think that Bao can certainly turn things around. Like, I'm saying, like, can get Johnny to like relax. And he, here's the thing. Imagine if he didn't know her at all before this. Like, I feel like he'd be freaking out even more. And so I think that like the fact that they've already known each other, she's not a stranger to him. I think they'll work things out. I think they'll make it through whatever these hurdles are. So despite the fact that they had like, you know, not a great showing this episode, I'm going to leave them at a 4. I think that they're still going to make it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also at a 4. If Bao wasn't as headstrong as she is, I would be more so a 3, but I think if Bao has anything to do with it, they are going to stay together. I think that she's going to continue to put forth the effort that, you know, Johnny needs to stop being so in his own head about, you know, things like people he's experienced in the past, and how it's gone. And so, and what he thinks, you know, is, you know, the right thing to do and his type. And I think he's just so in his head that he just won't be present in the moment and enjoy. I feel like the housewarming party was finally a point where he could be present. And that's why he had such a good time. I'm like, okay, imagine if you do that with everything else. So I'm going to settle at a 4. I could very well be a 3 or 2 next week, depending on how that conversation goes. But I'm still a bit optimistic. So last, but certainly not least, we have, Zakayla.
Yeah, otherwise it's Mac. I feel Mac. Like Zakayla's cooler.
Yeah, Mac would put them in like Brian territory.
Yeah, we don't want that for them.
Right. Zakayla has a ring to it. So Zach's friend came over to visit Jaren. And Zach is very concerned because, you know, as we saw last time, they had that issue where he left in the morning. He didn't communicate it to her. She moved out because she was so mad. Then they talked to Pastor Cal. That's kind of like where we left off. But what we find out in this conversation with Jaren was that, you know, she left right after they had that conversation with Pastor Cal. But they talked on the phone afterwards, kind of like reconciling things. And then she texted him an hour later saying like she didn't want to do the housewarming party. And he said that Zach told Jaren, like, that's what put me over the top, because it was just like, where did that come from? Like, why are you like, that was out of left field. And his friend tells him like, y'all are just two different people with two different perspectives. And Zach said like his past relationships didn't work because of how his girlfriends were. Like, they were loud and boisterous. And he continues to bring this up throughout the episode of just like his, like all his past relationships didn't work out because of the girlfriend. And I'm like, Zach, are you going to take no ownership for how you're handling anything?
Yeah. He's young, right? Like, how old is he? 26 or 27. Something?
27. Yeah.
27. Okay. First of all, Jaren's MVP as far as like friends are concerned. I feel like he did the best job on both ends, like both now and when he talks to Mikayla later. Like, he basically says like Zach has fairy tale expectations. He's not realistic or patient about like what real relationships, you know, take. Uh-huh. And like, he's also on the younger side. So like, he probably, yeah, sure, he probably has dated the wrong women for him. But like, just because someone is on the louder side or handles things differently from you doesn't mean that they're, I mean, Well, Kayla did not handle this great. But that being said, like, she handles things differently. And instead of trying to figure out, like, why she's doing what she's doing, he's focusing on the fact that he doesn't like what how that she's doing what she's doing, basically.
Right. And it's just like, I don't know.
Like, yes. Getting, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just getting so upset, like, and it's probably just from all these years watching The Bachelor, but I was like, yes, he's just looking for an out. Like, he's, yes, he just wants an out. And it's so early for that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not,
yeah,
like, it shouldn't be that right. big of an issue. And it's just like, oh, well, she's this way. That's exactly what I didn't want. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's giving me like Johnny vibes, like, mm-hmm. where right. he just is like, this isn't what I expected. Like, I thought it was going to be one way and it's not that way. And I feel like it's almost worse than that because it was so great for the first like few days.
Yeah.
And then like it was almost like the rug got pulled out from underneath him. And he was like, oh, no, this is how every other relationship I've had is. He just has like PTSD or something.
Yeah, I'm like, goodness, what was his last relationship like?
Yeah.
But they did. She ends up having a change of heart. They do have the housewarming party. But before that, we did get the guys meeting up, the girls meeting up. Zach does tell the other guys that they consummated their marriage. And he's like, oh, Michaela's going to hate me for telling y'all this, but we did. They're like, dang, you just got back from quarantine. How'd that happen so fast? And he's like, no, 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 it was pre-COVID. And Michaela does not share with
the lady. She's like, a lady doesn't tell or something yeah. like that. And literally the next second they flash to him saying.
Right. Like, it happened.
Yeah, they clearly like talked it through. Like, yeah, right. Let's not yeah. say anything.
Yeah. Right. And the thing with Michaela is like, she's such a bad liar. Like, she's the worst liar. Uh-huh. Because they're like, oh, how are things? And she's like, things are okay. Like, the way she said it, it's like there's obviously more going on underneath the surface, but that's like all yeah. she says. And mm-hmm. then her face, like, oh my God, girl, work on your face before you say things.
Yeah, you can read it all over her face. And mm-hmm. she's just like, you know, I don't want to tell him anything because we're still going through it, which fair, but yeah. have a better poker face. You know, just, hey, you know, things are going as well as they can be. We're still getting used to living together, you know, simple.
You don't yeah. have to spill the whole tea, you know right. what I mean? To not flat out lie.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty much the extent of what they shared. With the group meetings. So at the housewarming party, she had a change of heart. She did want to have it. So they did have a couple friends coming over, but you know, she had her friends come over. She set up the food. She had the charcuterie board. Everything was great. She tells her friends, like, they're just learning each other's like communication styles. He shows up with his friend and very clearly stressed. Like, I felt the stress walk into the room. He's just like, oh, thanks for putting all the food together. And he's just like, oh, can I talk to y'all in the room, referring to her friends. And he's just like, he wants to kind of get a better idea of like who Michaela is from her friends based on the situation that they just went through. And he said, like, it's been an adjustment, good and bad. He said, you know, canceling the party, send him over the top. And you know, he's like, is this how she usually handles things? They're like, no, this isn't a usual thing. He's like, but you
so they call her super level-headed.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, I haven't even met Michaela in real life. I've seen her on television for like 4 episodes. There is absolutely no way this girl is considered level-headed every single day of her life. Not a chance.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, kind of hard to believe, but okay, this is your
I
friend.
Just felt like they knew exactly what he was talking about. Uh-huh. But they're like, this is our BFF, man. We got to stick up. No, I've never seen her do that.
Yeah, they're like, wait till she gets comfortable. Then you're not going to see this type of stuff.
I feel like it's almost the opposite. Like, you have to feel fairly comfortable in a relationship to have an outburst like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't want to show that side to somebody. You know,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't be acting like this if you didn't care at all.
Yeah.
But I think like Michaela, because things are so well up front, she's all in now, like, or she was all in. So that's why if she felt so betrayed with these like minor incidents. I don't know. So she was talking to his friend and she said, like, she's learning now she's married. She has to consider other people's feelings. She understands that, you know, their communication could be better. And his friend, his friend's advice was just be different. Talk to him calmly. Explain why you're upset. You're upset. Just be different. Be different.
What? I loved this moment because I the thing I do like about Jerome is he's like, you know, his relationships were really toxic. He had really immature girlfriends. I don't know if Michaela already knew this, but like, I do think it's like valuable information to have because his reactions to what she does make perfect sense when you know that little piece of information.
Yeah.
Right. Just change who you are.
Yeah. Amy, was that great advice? Just be different.
Yeah, you know, easy enough.
I honestly thought that Michaela was going to have a more negative reaction to that, but seems like she didn't. They debriefed after the housewarming was over, and one more thing. So one of Michaela's friends tells Zach, like, you know, if y'all have kids one day, y'all gonna have to make big decisions. He's like, okay, yeah, you bring up kids, but like, okay, that makes me concerned. Like, can we make decisions if like this is how she handles things? And they're like, well, you don't know her. Like, valid.
Yeah,
you are.
I did like her friends.
Yes. They're yes, those are the type of friends you have. No matter how wrong you are, they will stick up for you.
I appreciated like that. I know that the friends that Michaela invited over are actually her friends because when they walked in, she's like, okay, come on, you guys gotta help me finish up getting ready for the party. I'm gonna put you to work.
For the party they're attending. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they debrief after and he said like he learned a lot, and she's like I actually learned a lot too from your friend, and like I learned how genuine and present you are, and she's like, I admit like my reaction was an overreaction, and she's like, and like I understand like how you feel, and he's like, well, how do you think I feel? She's like, well, you feel abandoned, and you know, she goes on about, you know, basically him feeling abandoned, and he's like, I don't think it's just communication. I think it's how you handled it, and I'm scared. And he's like, honestly, I'm scared to tell you honestly how I feel right now because I'm afraid you're gonna blow up. She's like, well, tell me how you feel. He's like, I can't eat, I don't feel good, I had anxiety before even coming up to this party, I did not want to come to this party. And if I was Michaela in that moment, I would have been petty and be like, well, I tried to cancel it.
Yeah, he's like, I had more anxiety coming here than the wedding itself.
Yes,
like, I don't know what to do right now. I need to take time away. He like, I don't know. This just seems so odd to me. Like, I don't know. I feel like sit down and have a conversation about it. Maybe they already have. Like, it just seems so weird to have the housewarming party only for him to then say like, and all her friends give him like advice, and then him be like, nah, but still, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, it was weird because she's like, okay, well, how can I make it right? And he's like, well, you don't have to do anything. And she's like, well, I didn't know canceling the party is gonna have such an effect on you. And like, for him to now say, I think we should take some time apart. Okay, sorry, were you just not away from each other the entire honeymoon? Why do you need time apart?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is a little bit different than Johnny and Belle. Like, they have been together nonstop for 2 weeks. Okay, fair. You may need a moment. But y'all have not been in each other's presence for like a full week at this point, and now you're trying to get more time apart just because you run when there's conflict? So confused.
Yeah, it didn't really make much sense, to be honest. It was like they both are handling this very poorly, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, which expert do we need to come in next?
Oh, I would say Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. I would say stop stop saving her for later in the season because she's a hard hitter. I feel like she needs to come in and have a real conversation.
That tough Zach love.
Yes. With Zach and Michaela and Johnny and Belle to get them on the same page. Mm-hmm. Even Jose and Rachel to knock some sense into Jose to bring him back to reality and say, okay, are you just in your ideal marriage or are you looking at the woman that you're with and really developing a relationship with Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to be like, okay, tell me Rachel's, where's her favorite vacation spot that she's been to in the past? You know, like, start to question because at this point, I'm like, you're just, it's just, it's like a figment of his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So I say Dr. Pepper because, you know, Dr. Viviana is going to focus on like intimacy.
They don't have problems with that. So.
Right. Exactly. So really, that was everything we got from Zach and Michaela this episode. With him leaving, he did decide to leave. So we get him walking out of the apartment. So I don't know when he's going to come back. And for the, on the next time on, we get them arguing once again. Michaela's telling Zach, like, I just want you to acknowledge the apology and stop bringing it up. Which, hey, doesn't work like that. Yeah, Amy, if I was just like, hey, you're rude. Okay, I'm sorry. Don't ever refer to that again.
You apologize, right? So,
right. So it should
that's
be
what it takes.
Yeah. You just do whatever you want and then think an apology is going to fix it. But that's what we have with Zach and Michaela. where would you rate them, Amy?
So tough because it's like we lost some weeks of content with them, but it seems really like a disturbing trend here with just not wanting to work things out and being so quick to being like, yeah, well, this might not work out, you know, please agree with me on my assessment. So, I'm going to give them a 2.
Oh, I'm at a 2 as well. I never thought I would like, legit were at a 5. Weeks 2 and 3.
It's because they hadn't actually hung out together.
But I thought they were going to be like Vincent and Brianna. It was just like, this is our Vincent and Brianna.
Like, this is the couple. Like, there's that couple that is going to work out. But they're just, it's just toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So, where would you rate them, Jess?
Yeah, I also had him at a 2. It's unfortunate. I think like the chemistry there, like the raw chemistry is there. And if it was the situation where it was like Bao and Johnny were just like, really, it seems like it's coming from just one side and like only one side really has some issues to deal with. Maybe I'd be higher, but it seems like they're both handling things very poorly.
Yeah.
And neither one of them really can see the forest for the trees. Like they both just have these gut reactions and act on them, like act on impulse. And I don't see it going well for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. I totally agree. So there you have it. Episode 8 is in the books. Thank you so much for coming on, Jess. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun. This show is just, it's so good. I can't wait to keep watching and see where it goes. Like it's been a really good, I don't know. Where would you say this is like an average season, an above average season in your all professional opinion?
Good question. I think it's an above average season. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, there have been seasons in the past where I was legitimately bored.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this season, like, I think that it's pretty even in terms of couples that are having some challenges and couples that are seem like they are on an upward trajectory to having like a successful relationship. So I feel like we have a good balance. It's keeping my attention. I think any time that the 2 hours flies by, that it's a good season.
Mm-hmm. It is a long show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's up there. I think definitely the top third of seasons. I think that would be an interesting thing to do one day, Amy, if we ranked all the seasons.
That would be.
Okay. We should
season pod.
Right. We should copy Rob and rewatch every season.
Oh my gosh.
In 2022.
And then we find like we get other podcasters to each watch, you know, at least one season and come back and like, this is your assignment.
I can totally see that, because the only real dud couple is like Brett and Ryan. So if that's the only dud couple, then like it's probably a decent season.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially some of the earlier seasons had like three couples. Mm-hmm. And then let's say you had one that was like Brett and Ryan.
Whole third.
Yeah. Like, oh my goodness. What am I watching?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we could come up with a list of like, these are the top tier. This is like, if you're a new fan, this is the order to go back.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So speaking of listeners, I do want to say, you know, if you haven't gone out there on Reality TV Wrap Ups and left us a review, definitely go do that. I do want to shout out a 5-star review that we got last week. It was from Memed55. They said, long time RHAP listener and absolute fave is the Married at First Sight coverage by Asia, Amy, and guests. I'm so glad we have weekly coverage this season, and I hope that continues for future seasons. Aww. So thank you so much for the review.
That's so nice.
Yes. So y'all go out there and leave a 5-star rating and a review, and we could shout you out too in future podcasts.
Is our feed up and running yet, or are we still just on? We have our independent feed, or
we are still waiting.
Okay. So that's our goal.
Yes. that is our goal.
So it can be easily in the works. Accessible.
Yes. TBD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's awesome that they mentioned that on the general one.
Yeah. So definitely, until we get our own feed, go leave us some reviews. Maybe that'll push us getting our own feed. but yes, Jess, where can people find you?
Yes, people can find me on Twitter at the Jess Sterling. I'm also I co-host two separate podcasts. So one is community building over on Posher Recaps with Josh Wigler. We talk about community every week. Asia, you were on. That was it's a really fun podcast. Yes. And then also SHIT 90s shows taught me that is with Sarah Ferguson. We talk Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World weekly, and then we do some other 90s bonus content. This month we're doing Robin Williams month, so we're going to be talking Mrs. Doubtfire and Jumanji this month, so that's exciting.
Nice. Right. If you ever need someone to talk Full House, that was my jam.
All right. Yes. We did a whole Mary Kate and Ashley month in March. And we solely talked about like the Disney episode of Full House, because that is like a particularly iconic one. But we haven't like done like a deep dive on Full House before. We're hoping that like maybe next March we can do another Mary Kate and Ashley March, because there's just so much content there.
Nice.
Yeah, they have plenty of content. But yeah, if y'all haven't checked it out, definitely go check it out. I hopped on to talk about one of the Boy Meets World episodes and absolutely had a great time. So
yes. So it's we are at SHIT 90s pod on Twitter and Instagram. And then we have a website too, SHIT 90s shows or 90spod.com.
Nice. Yes, y'all definitely go check that out. And thank you again for coming on. I really appreciated it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me podcasting about Bachelor in Paradise. And every so often I will drop Married at First Sight references. The crossovers are prevalent sometimes. And that's with Haley Strong. You can find that on the same feed, Reality TV Wrap Ups. And on Twitter at RHAP Recapper.
Nice. And as always, everyone, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. continuing to help out with coverage for Big Brother 23. It's been a great season, especially coming off the heels of the episode that aired today, since we're recording this on a Wednesday. So definitely go check that out. Or no, we're recording on a Thursday. so the double eviction that happened today. Definitely go check that out. I was on the episode recap yesterday, which was Wednesday. Had a good time talking with Rob, Melissa, and Ryan Scally. And then, of course, you can find, you know, our weekly coverage where we have awesome guests along the way from Married at First Sight on the reality TV wrap ups. So everyone, thank you for listening. If you made it this far, and we will see you next week. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.